But you know, the more I keep thinking about it, why all this? Why so much violence? Why so much racism? Why so much divisiveness is occurring in God's name? Why is that? Or better yet, I want to ask it in a different way. I would ask the question like this. And I've been thinking about this way too. Some of you heard me this morning. A lot of times I sit here in my chair, I stare at the wall or the monitor or whatever. But I think when I'm doing that. So the first question I ask you, let's kind of turn this into a little twist. I'm going to ask this question in a different way. If God is love, why does the narrative of Christianity include so little of it spoken today by us? Why does the narrative of Christianity include so little of it spoken today by us? And to me, friends, it seems like that everyone has an increased desire to draw the line, share opinions, to determine whose team they're going to be on. The ultimate goal for many, bottom line, is to prove why they are wrong by any means necessary, but mostly by demeaning and dehumanizing all just to prove to themselves that they are better than the rest of us. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. In light of all this, I am, honestly, to tell you the truth, I am uncomfortable with all of this. I have been lately. Well, all this has been going on with so many Christians and so little Jesus being spoken, I'm being uncomfortable with it. Kind of make me want to go crawl underneath a rock and die. We're not sounding an alarm. We're not preaching Jesus. We're not talking Jesus. We're doing everything I just mentioned. We're trying to cause violence and fear and racism and division among one another. You see, folks, that the war of the words today among us looks more like what I call a high school cheerleading spat than any other Christian values. That's what it's looking like to me. More like a dog-eat-dog world among brothers and sisters. But let's not pretend, my friends, let's not pretend rivalries and dehumanizations are anything new to us. Let's not pretend. See, today, and this is what I feel. Today, I live in a country that's built on power and progress. And that's two principles I see little of in Jesus. That's two principles I see little of in Jesus. That's not how Jesus was. So how did this happen? How did it happen? Why is it happening? Why don't more Christians, myself included, look more like Jesus? Why? Well, folks, there's a reason for this. I've been thinking very hard on this message. I've been carefully choosing my words. And I feel that it has to be spoken. Why the reason for all of this? Why are more Christians today are not looking like Jesus? And the answer to that ego. Ego, aka self. Self. You might call it the flesh. But I believe that our definition for ego closely parallels Paul's definition for the flesh. The ego is who you think you are. It's your false identity, your body image, education, theological knowledge, clothes, friends, social media status, jobs, success, accomplishments. And as Paul says, your ego, aka self, is against your spirit. Yourself is against your spirit. And everyone has allowed self to get the best of them. That's right. Don't act like you ain't done it. Everybody has allowed self to get the best of them. Or to get caught up in it. And I believe one of the major tasks of spiritual maturity is recognizing and letting go of the lies of self in favor of something better, and that is Jesus. And as I said, why am I not seeing Jesus more often? I watch y'all in the chat room every day. And I said to myself, I'm doing the same thing. Jesus is hardly being presented. Jesus is hardly being presented on many major social media outlets. Jesus is now hardly ever being presented inside mainstream churches today. It's boiling down to self. Self. And folks, everyone has allowed it to happen. And I think for us, we need to grow in spiritual maturity so that way we are recognizing and letting go of those lies of self in favor of something that's even better. And I keep quoting this a lot. Greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. We should be more focused and working on improving our spiritual walk with Christ and starting to look like him in front of others. And yes, this is hard work. It's hard work. And however, it's excruciating, to be honest. It's almost like dying. And I would guess most people don't let go of their self until life throws them a few gut punches. That's right. I think a lot of people do not let go of self until life throws them some punches, especially in their gut. And you probably know a few people who suffered unimaginable trials and hurts and tragedies and testings in their Christian faith. And yet, when they let it go, you'll know, you see them, when they let it go and die to self, and you've been hearing me saying that a lot, when they let it go and die to self, they seem to have more peace and love as their result. That's why I've been pushing. We need to learn what it means to die to self. If you got your Bibles with our dear friend Lisa, she's going to post our reading scriptures. And we're mainly going to be honing in on this particular passage throughout this message. And I think you may understand why. But our reading scripture for tonight is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, 23. And it says this. And he said to all, look at that big power word there too. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you to forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, we don't intend to sin, but we do. And I'm one of them that's willing to confess to you, to admit to you that at times I allow self to get in the way. And I allow sin to enter my life. I shouldn't, but I do. I've fallen short of your precious mark. And oftentimes I allow self to get in the way of you. Forgive me where I have fallen short. Forgive me where I have missed the mark. Forgive me of the wrongs that I have done. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to be like self. I don't want to be like those things no more. I surrender myself. I die to myself to take up the cross, to follow you, to do all these things that you commanded us to do. And it's high time that we all start acting. We need to start imitating you better. We need to start doing it more, expressing it more. I'm on speaking for myself, God. Whatever these folks are going through or dealing with, however they take this message, that's between them and you. And those who's going to listen to this, that's between them and you. I just know what I'm speaking of right now, myself. I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. They went, you know, they could have went down their own little thing, but they decided to come here. Those who didn't show, I don't know why they don't want to come. Can't make them. That's fine. But I ask you to bless them, to be with them, watch over them, help them, nurture them, guide them, love them, and let them know you're with them to the end of age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I kid you not, because this one tonight is serious. Very serious. Because it has been troubling me. It's been on my heart a lot. It's just what I've been seeing with Christians. And the title of this message, which y'all seen, the bot does it over and over, you know, in the chat room. But the title of this message tonight is How to Win Over Self. Now, think about this. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who acted holier than thou? Have you? I have. But y'all afraid? Y'all act like y'all never run across a person like that? Come on. I know you have. Don't be afraid. Yep, see? But did that individual act as though he or she was right and everyone else was wrong? Have they? When you encounter those people? They were right and everybody else was wrong. Well, I see your responses, but I'm guessing the answer is yes. We all encountered these people. But now here's the real kicker. How did these encounters make you feel? How did these encounters make you feel? Some of them that I encountered made me felt lower than a dog. Made me felt worthless. Like I was nothing. And some of them made me thought, well, did I say something wrong? Or did they make you change your ways? Or did they make you want to do just the opposite? Sometimes, yes, they push me. Sometimes they do want me or make me to do the opposite of what I'm supposed to be. You see, seldom do conversation with self-righteous people makes us want to be like them. In fact, it causes more harm than good. It causes more harm than good. But here's the burn. Are you ready for this? Get ready to start squirming and shifting in your chairs. Because, you know, usually if I'm up on a pulpit and when I'm preaching something like this and I'm looking out, I start seeing a lot of them looking around and they're starting to, you know, to move and, you know, and they kind of start doing a little bit of this and that, you know, like, oh, my, I don't like the way this brother, where he's gone. Yeah, I see that. Because you'd be surprised at things I can see when I'm looking way out when I'm giving a message. But here's the burn, folks. You may be self-righteous without even realizing it because self-righteous is something no one sees in the mirror. Self-righteous is something someone does not see in the mirror. Many people act self-righteous, but they don't see it that way. Why? Because they see it as being right while others are wrong. For example, if you catch yourself putting others down, I notice my conversation is late. I've been doing that, putting others down. See where I'm at with this? But like I said, if you catch yourself putting others down, behaviors, and justifying your own, you might be self-righteous. By the time you finish hearing this message, I hope, and it was an eye-opener to me, I hope you will recognize your own self-righteousness, if it exists in you, and more importantly, find a cure to your self-righteousness, to self. So you're thinking, well, Pastor Jim, is there a cure? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I don't know if you caught it yet, but there is a cure. You see, in our reading passage we just read, Jesus shows us the cure, and we need to put self to death, and he shows us four ways of doing so. He shows us four ways of doing so in our reading passage we just read. That's the cure for self. That's how to win over self. So in this message, we're going to take a look at the cure and how to get healed. The first way to win over self or the cure, the first way to win over self is by making a definite decision. By making a definite decision. Look at the beginning of Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me. If anyone would come after me. And when we look at this section, Many people have a difficulty deciding which way to go. Y'all heard my story. I forgot. It was months ago. I told you I was standing at the crossroads. The road that way, the road this way, the road that way, the road that way. That's all I was doing. And doing. And doing. And doing. So one morning in prayer, I kind of briefly heard in a small, still, silent voice, "Jim, look up. If anyone will come after me." So when we look at this section again, folks, many people are having a difficulty in deciding which way to go. And what they are doing, they're trying to hold on to God with one hand, and they're trying to hold on to Satan with the other. Can't work that way. Look what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. You want a better clue? Look what he said. And he said this: "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Friends, we follow the Lord through choice. We follow the Lord through choice. As it said right there, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what he did right there, he made a definitive decision. He made a definite decision, a definite decision, however you want to say it. But he made a decision. He decided, you know what? Enough. Enough. I had it. I had it with self. I had it with everything. I will serve the Lord no matter what. Friends, he made a choice, and so must we. Then we must not allow ourselves to follow self. Instead, we must be firm in our decision for Jesus Christ, leaving no bridge unburned, which would facilitate no turning back, only moving forward. And I like this analogy because, see, a lot of times in wartime actions, you know, I'm an old World War II buff, and a lot of times what they did when the enemy was giving them chase, sometimes they would do, when they crossed bridges, they would burn them so the enemy could not cross over. But see, that's what we are supposed to do as we move from self to spiritual guidance from the Holy Spirit. We should burn that bridge behind us so it will not facilitate turning back and going that way. Once that bridge is burned, the only way to go is forward. The only way to go is forward. Self should have been dead. That's what the cross was all about. We're going to get to that later. So we should burn and not leave any bridge unburned behind our paths. We should just burn it so that way we can only move forward. Make a definite choice to follow God. The second cure, or the second way to win over self. Are you ready for this one? Daring discipline. Woo! Discipline! Daring discipline. You didn't have to go there. Ouch. You see, friends, discipline is not well liked by many Christians. I ain't talking about non-believers. I'm talking about believers. Discipline is not liked. It's not well accepted. Many get upset when they are disciplined. But to win over self, we must have daring discipline. We must be willing to be disciplined by our Heavenly Father. I don't like discipline at times. I sure didn't like it when I was a little kid. But see, folks, we are kids. God's our Father. And at times, He has to discipline us. But at times, your minister, your pastor has to discipline you. Pop your bubble, mic drop. But sometimes I need discipline too. Sometimes people in this room that comes here, they need discipline and they don't like it. They don't take well to it. But I'm sorry, folks, but in order to win over self, you have to have daring discipline. Again, the second part of Luke 9:23. Let him deny self. Let him deny self. And many people are self-indulgent. They really are. They fail to practice self-denial and restraint. They fail to practice self-denial and restraint. You see, we must set rules and limits for ourselves. We win by staying as far from Satan's territory as possible. And many of you have heard these sayings. We got some good Cajun sayings down here too, though. But many of you have heard these sayings. If you play with fire, you get what? You must have some slow type burnt. You play with fire, you get burnt. You play with a snake, you get what? Bitten. You get way too close to the cliff. You what? You fall. So why are we messing around in Satan's territory? Why are we doing that? Again, folks, stay as far away from Satan's territory as possible. Because if you get too close, you're going to get sucked in. You're going to get sucked in if you get too close to his territory. I promise you, it's going to happen. How do I know? How do I know if we stay far away, we get pushed and poked and prodded and tested and squeezed and stretched? How do I know all this? Because I'm going through hell already here on this earth, so I ain't got to worry about going to the actual hell. I've been redeemed from that anyway. But how do I know that I'm not allowing myself to get sucked in? Well, look what James chapter 1, verse 12 says. And this should be encouragement. It says, blessed is the man who remains, look at the word, steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Remain steadfast. So when we deny ourselves of the flesh, the path is different because it is the path of discipleship. We are disciples. We are disciples by self-discipline. We are disciples of following Jesus because of this. We discipline ourselves to be more like Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, and less of this world and its ways. And as we follow Jesus, we start to look more and more like Him. And as we look more and more like Him, we look less like the world. We look less like the world. That's why I always keep trying to tell you folks, be like Jesus. Not just for your sake. People around you are watching you. Your family's watching you. Your friends is watching you. Even the world itself is watching you. Yeah. That person claims to be a follower of Christ. Okay, we're going to see how well it is. I'm not going to speak to them. I'm going to be mean to them. I'm going to pray against them. You see the dangers of self? That's not us. What I said last night in our Bible lessons, how we demonstrate our fruits by walking in the what? I know you ain't forgot that real quick. I'll buy that, Lisa. But mainly, we are doing what Galatians 5:25 commands us to do, to walk in the Spirit. We're not of the world anymore. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And everybody's watching you. The third way to win over self. And many people slip in this. The third way to win over self, daily devotion. Daily devotion. The third part of that cure in Luke 9:23. And take up his cross daily. And take up his cross daily. You repeat it in your room right now. And you take up his cross daily. And although we all know that Jesus offers salvation as a free gift to us, He also warned that following Him will entail suffering and hardship. Now, would such a life be easy for us? Yes, it would. But the reality is, it's not. The reality is, my friends, it's not easy for us. Now, why is it many people do not take this part seriously? And take up his cross daily? Why do many people do not take this part seriously in a Christian walk? I've been giving that a lot of thought to myself. Ooh. It's time to start doing a little tune-up, folks. We need to get the tools out and start taking that part seriously. So why ain't they taking it seriously? Why are some, in a way, afraid to do so and take up the cross daily in their lives? Why are they afraid to do that? Well, very simple. Many people are devoted to selfish interests. They fail to win over self because they neglect God and others. They're not serious in their walk with the Lord as they should be. Folks, we should be diligent in our devotion to God. We should be diligent in our devotion to God. How so? Look what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says about that. Look what it says. But seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Faithful church attendance, daily prayer, Bible reading, plus sharing Christ with others. These, my friends, brings victory over self. The more you're focused on Him, the more you are focused on Him, the less you're focused on yourself and your circumstances in life that you face. And in doing so, we tend to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And in doing so, it means to desire God's righteous rule here on this earth. And when we're faced with testings of our faith and knowing that Jesus offers us salvation as a free gift, He also warned that following Him will entail suffering and hardship in devoting our lives to Him. And we need to keep this in mind. We need to. We need to keep this in mind when we are hit with such things in our lives. Folks, when you're getting hit and whammed and slammed and bammed and whatever, you just need to quit worrying about yourself. You need to quit worrying about the circumstances. You need to quit worrying about poor old me, pity party, me. And you just need to be more focused on Christ. Okay, He told me this was going to happen. Okay, since He told me it's going to happen, I'm going to accept it. I'm cool with it. But we don't act that way. We come apart. We come unglued. Why? Why is this so important for us to remember this? Why? Well, here's why. Most important. You ready for another mic drop? Boom. Why is it so important for us to be focused on Jesus and less of ourselves? Because Satan will use yourself, let me talk slowly, Satan will use yourself to be the one to attack you. How about that one? Satan would be the one to use you to attack you. And when he does so, he will use your mind into forgetting about the kingdom of God and then just have you focus just on yourself. Self. Me. Why me? Why this? Why that? Why? And he will hit you with this in order to distract you from the real truth. And that truth is our minds are and is being transformed by the Word of God. And if he can get you to forget about that and get on self, you forget about it yourself. Before you know it, you're doing his dirty work. This is truth we all should know. And if he can get you to forget about this truth, then you get messed up, and before you know it, you're no longer thinking of the things of God, but you're thinking more of yourself. and you run off and seek attention. You run off to other people, and you run off as, oh, it's just not good. Oh, it's just bad. And I do that too. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. And I should be sitting here, wait a minute, whoa, Nelly. I seen that color before. Why did I allow myself to get self-absorbed into that when I know where it's coming from? Look, there's nothing wrong confining to a friend. Nothing wrong with talking to another brother or sister. Yes, we need people to talk to. We all need encouragement. We all need to be exhorted. We all need to be lifted up. It helps to talk sometimes. But it's not good to be caught up in a pity party. Some people I still know today, I'm really afraid to go talk to them. I'm afraid to ask them the question, hey, brother, how you doing today? Well, Jim, let me tell you, my cat ran away. I had a flat tire on the car. The washing machine broke. My TV's not working. My internet prescription got canceled. My pants is not fitting. I had a cowlick I couldn't get right. Whoa! Now all of a sudden, the rest of my day is like, dang. Satan uses us to attack ourselves, folks. Don't let it happen. And only if you allow it. We got the power. Don't you understand that? So we come to our fourth cure for tonight of how to win over self according to the reading scriptures we just read. The last key part of Luke 9:23, the last key part. And I really wanted to play that song before the technical issue. See, I knew he was trying to get me distracted. I knew he was trying to get me riled up. I knew he was trying to get me out of the spirit. I knew he was trying. You know what? I had to put it in my mind. Okay, you know, enough of it. Okay, forget about Facebook. I'll figure this out later. But you know what? I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to stop this message. Not going to happen, Captain. The fourth cure of how to win over self. You ready for this? Dauntless determination. Dauntless determination. The last part of Luke 9:23 says it right there. And follow me. Jimmy, follow me. Oh, okay. See? We got to follow him. Nothing else. And with this in mind, many fail in their quest for victory over self. With this in mind, many fail in their quest for victory over self. Because they're following something else. They lack courage to reject the wrong and take their stand for the right. Well, folks, here's what we must do. You and I. We must develop a bulldog tendency. And I know some of y'all know what bulldogs are. Them are tough little boogers. But we must develop a bulldog tendency and never give up, do or die attitude. We must never give up. We must have a do or die attitude. We must be like those bulldogs. Determination with God's help brings us victory in the greatest battle of all, the battle against self. Now, how can we know this? How can we know that if we have that strong determination, I am standing fast with you God no matter what. I am going to be like that bulldog. I am going to be like roots into a ground. I may be shaken, but I am not going to be uprooted. And how can we have the battle against self? How? Well, rest assured to you, according to God's word, it says so. And y'all hear me quote this one a lot too. In fact, if I was able to turn my camera that way, it's right there on my wall to my right. I'm looking at it right now. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. That's your determination. That's your determination. That's your determination. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's hard. It's difficult. You come apart, unglued. You have a hard time. You get stressed out. Again, that should not be us. That's flesh. That's self. We need to have that dauntless determination, that bulldog attitude. We need to be saying to ourselves repeatedly in the mind that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We must now be more than ever to be determined in our minds and in our hearts to serve God no matter how hard life hits us. I am sure all of us has heard this saying. I'm sure all of us has heard this saying. When life gives you lemons, what do you do, folks? Da 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 da. Make lemonade. Thank you. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. And when you do, let me know, because I like drinking lemonade. Be determined to serve Jesus no matter what. Be determined to serve Jesus no matter what. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I know I'm running over time, and I'm sorry, because we ran a little late. I'm trying to get started. So in closing, why is this new path of discipleship so different and difficult? Have you ever thought about that one? I think about it a lot. And it's because we have been changed. We're not of old selves. We have been transformed. We now follow Jesus. The new longings in our heart are to do His will, not our own. And sadly, some self-righteous Christian people begin to believe in their self is better than others. Well, here's the truth, folks. No matter how good you are, no matter how good you are, according to this world's moral standards, you will never be good enough. I don't care how good you think you are to this world's moral standards, you will never be good enough. And why those folks don't make it who claim to follow Christ? Why they quit? Why they give up? Why they don't make it? There's some, I wish it was in this room right now. I see it. They pop in and out this chat. And my heart goes out to them. And they struggle. They have a hard time. They have difficulties. And the reason why they have not learned how to win over self, they had never truly learned the real meaning of dying to oneself. They hadn't learned the true meaning of dying to oneself. The fact is, folks, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. We're all are sinners in accordance to Romans 3:23, which says this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. No matter if we follow most of the rules and keep most of the commandments, I'm sorry, folks, it is impossible to qualify for heaven on our own. It is impossible for you and I to qualify for heaven on our own. And I was trying to find something to really bring just the point, to really illustrate this. And I don't know if y'all ever heard of this guy, but his name is called Paul David Tripp. Paul David Tripp, he writes this. I love this quote. This is what he said. He said, since sin is deeper than bad behavior, trying to do better isn't a solution. Only grace of God that changes the heart and can rescue us. Wow. Good words to there. Sound wisdom. We can't change ourselves. Only He can. So there is a difference between a person in whom disappointment leads to self-reformation and someone in whom grief leads to a heartfelt confession. The first person believes in personal strength and the possibility of self-rescue, while the second has given up on his own righteousness and cries out for the help of another. I cried out to God, help me. And I still cry out to God, help me. Sometimes when I try to pray, I do not know what to pray. I just sit there and say, help. 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 And that's why God sent His Son, Jesus. God knew we couldn't do it on our own. He knew it. The penalty for our sin is death. Thankfully, Jesus, who never sinned, came to earth to die for our sin on the cross. This is why we too must die to the cross. We too must die to the cross. It's only because of His blood shed for our sins that we are forgiven and self is put to death. Another way of placing self to death is to acknowledge and confess your sin to the Lord and surrender all to Him. Folks, all means all. All means all. Not a little, not a percentage. All is all, all or not. Either you die to self and surrender all to Him or forget about it. Then begin with any self-righteousness in your heart that you have not let go. I know some is like that right now. And we as Christians should confess and repent of any self-righteousness in your life daily with our lives in Christ. And just don't confess that to God only. Don't. If you need to, if you felt led to, confess it to anyone that you have been self-righteous towards. If you're led to do so. I'm not telling you to go do it. That's only done when you're led to. I learned that lesson 2 months ago. I learned how to humble myself because I was self-righteous. And I went before the people that I sinned against in repentance and confessed to them. The fact is, folks, we have died to that right of self. We have died to that right of self. We no longer have that right. Why? I should have added this to it, but again, I already know because I was reading that this morning. Jesus paid the price. He owns you. You had no rights. We are now a slave to him. Remember that. And also, as I was reading, when I was prepping for a lesson last night, because, you know, this is still going to be coming in our Bible lesson, but I was reading again this morning, as Jesus said when he was praying in the garden, great sweats of blood droplets. And notice what he said. Not my will, but yours be done. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Get rid of self. Kill it. You cannot serve two of them. You cannot have God in one hand and Satan in the other. You can't. One has to be let go. Which one will it be? Hopefully, we humbly submit our will over to God's will. And we respond in kindness and humility. Will you always do this right for the first time? Of course not. And that is, in a sense, it's okay. It's okay. None of us is perfect. But we need to be focused more on God's will and less of self. Friends, let me tell you something. A Christian walk is a lifetime journey. And God understands that over the years, we have created habits of our hearts that are not easily broken. And he is patient with us as we learn to walk the new path. Like when I was at those crossroads, I kept looking at the path. I should have been looking up. And nevertheless, we are called daily to humbly submit our will to his and not of self. We are to submit to his will and not of self. Amen. Let's pray.